We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome on this Saturday morning to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois, and also St. Paul's in New Athens, Illinois.
You know, I nothing against thy strong word, the Bible study,
yes,
if you're in KFUO,
yes.
But boy, I really like our intro, even more than theirs.
What Matt's referring to is, if any of you were listening, and are actually, you can go and hear it, it's probably archived on the website there at KFUOAM.org, but by sheer coincidence, Matt and I actually did thy strong word, which is the daily Bible study program on at 11 o'clock. And so we just happened, I ended up having to be the guest host, and he happened to be the guest guest.
So it was the guest guest. It was perfect. So we had a great time. We, you know, was we had some confusion at the beginning of the show, whether it was Wrestling with the Basics.
That's right.
A strong word, but it got worked out.
Doing.
And we made
By
it
By the way,
through.
This is Wrestling with the Basics we're doing now.
You sure
said
hope
that.
So.
I'm glad you
or
said that.
Or else
that
we
at
played the wrong intro.
Yeah, that's right. And like you say, our intro is so much nicer than they just play da 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 da.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll
have
to talk
See,
to them.
Our intro is not in any hymnal that I know of.
No, it
isn't. It is unique to this show.
Exactly.
And we possibly the best part of this show.
Exactly. And we do want to say thank you to Paul Clayton.
Oh,
that
my
was
goodness,
Paul,
yeah.
Something made, what, 25, 30 years ago, Paul.
And it has stood the test of time.
It stood the test of time. All right. Here's what, oh, by the way, before we go any further, we do want to point out that the big thing, because it is the 90 days of celebration for the 90th anniversary of KFUO.
Oh, yeah.
And the big thing for this week, oh, thank you for the fanfare.
Yeah, 90 years, that's worth the fanfare.
Is the anniversary tree, which I think is kind of a neat idea. They got this beautiful tree set up here in the studio. Of
yes,
course.
Yes, that's what I've been saying.
You know, we're all kind of pushed in the corner because the tree is basically taking up the studio.
Yeah, Rockefeller Center, eat your heart out. Wait till you see the KFUO Christmas tree.
And it's decorated with all these little cards that represent people who've made gifts to support the radio station, because we are listener supported. I don't think we emphasize that too much because we're just kind of bums. We just come here on a Saturday morning. But the actual operation depends upon people making gifts. And
yes.
So if you would like to have a gift and like to have your name and a card on the anniversary tree, call Joan Harwell at 314-996-1512. Now, Joan won't be here today, but she does have a machine, they tell me.
And, well, let's just give out her home phone, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, call her at home. Wake her up. She's probably in bed. But no, so
no,
call
Johnny,
her
we won't do that.
At 314-996-1512. If you don't get Joan, leave a message, and she'll get back to you, because we certainly would enjoy your support, especially as we're celebrating 90 years. And again, next week we have for you kind of a reminiscence. We've been doing this periodically, a reminiscence of what life was like back in the old days for KFUO. But that's
90 years
week.
Ago. Oh, when it was just you, John, and
that's right, and a few
an
dinosaurs.
Antenna.
Yeah, that's
about
right.
It.
Had to run outside, climb the tower.
We'll save that for next week.
By the way, I want to share with you a joke from Charlie Leshy, who's a member of my congregation.
Oh, yeah, I know Charlie.
And he had a good and what I like about this joke, it's the only joke that I know that actually has a Trinitarian reference. Which makes it kind of unique.
Did he write it himself?
No, no. He actually got it from another radio program called Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, sure.
They do an annual joke show, and that's all they do is jokes.
Oh, my goodness.
And this was one of them. And so here it is. How many Christians does it take to turn in a light bulb?
I don't know. How many Christians does it take?
One, but it's really three. Get that?
Yeah,
see
yeah.
The little
the Trinitarian yeah.
reference. Okay.
Yeah.
Holy
okay.
cow.
If
yeah,
you
got
any complaints about that, talk to Charlie. Charlie Leshy, that's his name. Yeah. Give him a call. Don't bug us. I mean, we were just repeating what Charlie said. All right, Matt, it's my turn.
Yes, it's
my
turn. To lead,
and we're doing parables and worship, but I'm not going to do a parable today.
Uh-oh. Okay. You're throwing us off. Are you going to do worship today?
No, I'm not going to do worship.
What are you going to do?
But, you know, here's, again, the funny thing. God does work in mysterious ways. So we get paired together to do the Bible study on Monday, Thy Strong Word. And the text we get assigned on Monday is?
Mark chapter 11.
Which is actually the story that traditionally begins the Advent season. And so since you and I have just talked about this back on Monday, I thought maybe that would be a good text to look at because it is, like I said, for thousands of years. A long time. The church has decided when they begin the Advent season, and by the way, it is the Advent season. What's the Advent season all about, Matt? Maybe we should explain that to people that don't know about the church year and all that stuff. You're the worship guy.
The worship.
Yeah. So what's this whole Advent stuff about?
Happy New Year to all of you, because this is a new church year. So last weekend, really, we celebrated the first Sunday in Advent.
Yep.
And that word Advent really is a Latin word that means coming.
Coming. Is that what it means?
Arrival.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Advent, coming. And the coming that we look for is the coming of our Savior. And really, specifically, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for us. I think that's so important, too, that He's coming for us. And we can look at His coming in a variety of ways, because He comes to us in a variety of ways. Probably the one that we think of most is His coming at Christmas,
yes,
His birth.
Yes.
And we're sort of counting down the days until that, waiting for that celebration
of
Christmas.
We've even got special candles in our church so we can count them off. One, two, three, four. And so we know that it's getting real close to Christmas.
Exactly.
Time.
The weeks before Advent, the light sort of grows and grows as our anticipation grows until that middle candle on many Advent wreaths, the Christ candle. Candles lit on Christmas, and we celebrate His coming as a child. But then also we keep in mind, too, that He comes to us today, too. He comes to us in His Word, as He is on this program. He comes to us through His body and blood, that Word connected to bread and wine in Holy Communion. So He still comes to us today, different Advents. And then finally, He comes to us His return on the last day. He's promised that He's going to return a second Advent, a second coming. And so we look forward to that. And again, Jesus returning again for us as our Savior.
And thank you. So the Advent, Advent means coming.
Yes.
And so every year we celebrate the fact that He has come as is the babe in the manger, which of course we'll celebrate. In 2 weeks, by the way, we'll have our special Christmas episode. So don't miss that either.
Oh, great.
My goodness.
Good.
So next week you get to hear reminiscence about 90 years. And then the week after that we play the jalapeno chorus.
Yes.
Wow.
I can
so
hardly
much excitement.
Wait.
Yeah. But then again, you said the coming of Jesus Christ today in word and sacrament and the coming at the end of the world. And thank you. You finally answered my question, which you didn't know it was a question because I didn't ask it. But my question is, so why did the church thousands of years ago decide that we want to start with a Palm Sunday story?
Because
this is not a Christmas story.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a story we're going to read.
What's the deal there?
Yeah, but now I understand, because it is a story about Jesus coming into Jerusalem.
Yeah, so He's coming again. Now, not coming as a baby, but coming now, finally, at the beginning of Holy Week. So
yes.
This is really the reason He came in the first place as that little baby, was to now come into Jerusalem, and all these events that follow now during this week we call Holy Week, with His the Last Supper and His death, and certainly then on Easter Sunday, His resurrection from the dead.
So let's have a look at the story.
Good.
This is the story that often begins the celebration of the Advent, or the coming of Jesus Christ, and it is about His coming triumphantly into Jerusalem. Matt, if you wouldn't mind reading chapter 11 of the Gospel of Mark.
All right. Let's see here. Chapter 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of His disciples, and He said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And when they went out and found a colt tied at a door in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and He sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. and those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Okay, so this is the story, and we read it from Mark. Usually when we get to Holy Week itself, we'll read it from the Gospel of John. We could read it from Matthew, Luke. Everybody records this story. And the reason we read it at the beginning of the new church year is, like you said, it's Advent. We're talking about the coming of Jesus, and here he comes at Jerusalem. But here's what I want to do with this text.
Good.
Because I was thinking about this. This isn't the first time these boys have been going into Jerusalem. As you pointed out Monday on Thy Strong Word, they'd been doing this at least since Jesus was 12 years old, right?
We
got the story about him coming in.
Sure.
Yeah. So Jesus has done this at least 20 times before. And I'm thinking probably with the disciples, I know there's some argument about when he actually formally began his ministry. Was it before or after the Passover? But let's assume that at least twice before he's come into Jerusalem with his disciples on the Passover. But what struck me about this is it was obvious this was going to be different. This was not the usual Passover journey where everybody just kind of walked into Jerusalem, came down from up north in Galilee. No, this was marked as something, a very, very special trip, a very, very special journey in Jerusalem. What made me think about this is because you talked about this again on Monday on Thy Strong Word. So what I'd like to do is you share with one of the signs, one of the evidences that made this a special trip. I'll share a sign. We'll just go back and forth because this thing is just full of special signs that this was not going to be your ordinary Passover pilgrimage. So pick out one of the things here in the text. What shows us that this was going to be something different this year?
Sure. Well, the actual animal he's riding on. So he's not just waltzing into Jerusalem like he probably had in the past, is walking there, but he's riding on an animal, not just animal, but he's riding on this colt, the foal of a donkey. That's significant. And partially because it's a fulfillment of what the Old Testament said would happen, what the Messiah would do, that promised Savior.
Have you got that passage?
Yeah,
you want me to get that passage?
So let's see, Zechariah 9, verse 9. Do you have that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. Here's the big part. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Yeah, so he comes, this prophecy, you know, centuries earlier that the Savior, this Messiah, would be coming on this donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so Jesus, that's what he comes on. And not only just a colt, but also one that's never been ridden. I think that's kind of interesting,
yes,
too. You know, we have this detail, and I think, well, why is that important? Why do we need to know that? And when we look back, when an animal was used for a special, holy, kind of sanctified, set-apart purpose, typically they weren't ridden prior to that. There wasn't really another purpose they fulfilled other than being for that holy, sacrificial, sanctified purpose. And so the same is with this colt. Never been ridden on before, not really used before, set apart for this special service of carrying Jesus as he enters into Jerusalem during Holy Week.
And I really appreciated your insight on that because I knew that. That's one of the signs because, I got the passage in Deuteronomy. Did you have another passage about... Was that the passage you had, too, about the fact that they took a heifer that has never been worked and has not yet pulled in
and it comes up a couple places. Mine is from Numbers 19,
but it
talks about that, yeah.
And I was wondering, so why is that? And then you made it plain to me, well, that's what it means to be set aside, to be sanctified, actually, is the word that gets used a lot, that big biblical word. And it means, no, this has no other purpose. This has a special purpose. So it's like we have a flagon we use for communion, but we don't pour Kool-Aid out of it when we're having the ladies' tea.
Exactly.
No,
good,
because
good
it's
example.
So we wouldn't use just an animal that's been used to pull a plow because this is a special animal. It's got a special purpose. Like you say, the very Savior of the world's going to ride on its back. So you just couldn't have any donkey that's been out working, tilling the ground or whatever. So I appreciate that. Yeah, it's sanctified. It's special. It's set apart. All right. So we got the donkey. That's a special sign. How the people respond, both in throwing their cloaks before him and also in waving the palm branches. Because these are practices that are associated in the Old Testament with the coronation of a king. They would throw their cloaks before Yehu when Yehu was being coronated as king. That was something that came from the Old Testament. And the book of Maccabees talks about the using of palm branches only, again, in set-aside occasions, in holy, special occasions. You wave the palm branches, not just for the fact that the Cardinals made it to the World Series, but no, only for really special, holy, religious, sanctified occasions would you wave the palm branches. So we got the donkey, we got the cloaks, we got the palm branches. Anything else special about what was happening that day?
Let's see. What they're shouting to.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I can't forget that. Yeah. So that the people are shouting, and what they're shouting is significant. They're shouting, Hosanna. It means Lord, save us. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And really, they're quoting the Psalms, Psalms 113 through 118 in particular, that really include that shout of praises to the Lord and really kind of sort of messianic praise psalms. Really pointing to Jesus again as that Messiah, as that one who's promised, and now they're coming to him with these hosannas on their lips, maybe not fully realizing what that hosanna means, what it means that he's coming to save them. But
we're going to talk about that in just a second.
Okay, but shouts of praise accompanying the palm branches and the cloaks and the special animal and so on and so on.
And yeah, this beautiful, like you say, this messianic expectation, the Lord's coming, come Lord, save us, Hosanna. And also seen in the fact that they refer to him as the King of David? Where's that business at? Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, a reference back to the prophecy in Ezekiel. Spoken, by the way, long after the real David had been dead. But Ezekiel promised, my servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. And indeed, they and their children and their children's children shall dwell there forever, and David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. Okay? So again, all this stuff highlighting the fact that this is not an ordinary trip, not just a bunch of pilgrims, but this is indeed a kingly coronation. And I'll give one last a special thing in this, and then if you've got another one, the fact that it starts at the Mount of Olives. Because again, Zechariah not only promised that there would be this king coming mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, but it's also, Zechariah says, on that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies between Jerusalem.
Even that specific.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So any other, the point we're trying to make is that it was very obvious that this was not your ordinary trip, that this was a kingly coronation. Jesus was riding in as King of Israel. Anything that we've missed there, Matt?
Yeah, well, just again, the significance of the animal that we look at Solomon. You know, you mentioned Yehu, even Solomon.
Yes.
He rides a mule. So he rides with the trumpet blast as his coronation. Long live King Solomon. So again, I think just one more connection to the Old Testament that just shows again and again, like we've hammered away, this is something special. This is a king who comes yet humbly into Jerusalem.
And what's really neat about the story is that this is not a fluke. It is not an accident that the people are shouting Hosanna, because Jesus has shown that this is his clear intent to come in specially this year, because as you read in the beginning of the story, he's already made preparations. He's got a donkey laid out, and he tells his disciples where they can find this donkey, and he tells them what to do if anyone says, hey, what are you stealing my donkey? Well, no, the Lord has need of it.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they'll let him, and that's exactly how it takes place. Everything according. So that's what's so neat about the story. It's not just that this is happening, but this is happening completely and totally according to the plan of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And you know, and this is part of the plan from the beginning, that Jesus has told the disciples again and again, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem to die.
Oh. Yeah, see, that's the problem, though, Matt. Thank you. That's the problem. The disciples think this is all according to Jesus' plan. But that's not the plan they're thinking of, is it, Matt?
Yeah, their plan's a little different.
What plan are they thinking of in this triumphal entry into Jerusalem?
Well, the 12 disciples, but even the crowd shouting the hosannas too, you know, Lord, save us. They're looking for a different kind of salvation than what Jesus has in mind, and a different way of getting that salvation and that saving act.
Yeah, because see, and that's what tickles me, because they think this is the plan that Jesus is going to go in. He's going to drive out those wicked Jewish leaders, those priests and those Pharisees and those money changers and animal salesmen. And it seems like that is what he's doing, doesn't he? Because the very first thing he does is he goes out and cleanses the temple. And I'm sure they're thinking, yeah, here's the plan. We're going to get rid of these corrupt. And then he's going to take on the Romans who are oppressing us and drive out their armed forces. Oh, man, this is what we've been looking forward, because then we're going to sit on his right and his left when he's in glory.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the kingdom we've been waiting for. But as you were pointing out there, Matt, before I interrupted you, Jesus had told him all along, that really wasn't the plan, was it? That wasn't the plan.
Yep.
Again, what did he tell him
Much
the plan was?
Different plan. Well, yeah. He said, clearly, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. But then he doesn't stop there. He even says, after 3 days, I will rise. But they, you know, they seem surprised by both those things, don't they?
Yes.
They seem surprised that he's coming to die, but then, you know, leading up to the resurrection, and even at the resurrection on Easter, they seem surprised that he's risen from the dead.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. And that's where I begin to see the message in this text for us, because they thought they had it all figured out. And of course, by Good Friday, that wasn't the plan at all. And in fact, what tickles me, they were going to be the brave, bold disciples on his right and his left. And what did they do? They ran away from him. One of their own actually betrays him into the hands of these wicked Jewish leaders, who then turn him over to the Roman authorities, who have him crucified. And even his right-hand man, denies that he knows him 3 times. And that's when it occurred to me, I know what this text is all about for you and me. Would you like to hear what it's all about for you and me? All right. This is how our New Year is going to be. This is New Year's for the church, and this is how our New Year's is going to be. Number one, Matt, everything is going to be according to plan. There will be no flukes and accidents this year. Jesus has got it all lined out. He knows where the donkeys are. He knows where you and I are. No, seriously.
And it's the same place.
That's right. Well, it's
the
easy.
You.
Just come right here and you can find 2 donkeys. But the point is, he needs us. That's right. Wasn't that what you say? The Lord has need of it. So yes. He's got us. He has need of us. He's going to use us, and it's going to go exactly like he's planned it, but not at all the way we've got it planned.
Yeah.
That's going to be the problem.
No, that's what we don't like.
No. Yeah. And it will be that way, because we want glory. We want happiness this year, but there'll be crosses and trials. That's what Jesus said. Not only was he going to suffer and die, but he also said, you take up your cross and you follow me. And we're not going to handle the cross as well, just like the disciples.
No.
We'll probably doubt. And we maybe even despair. But again, that's what strikes me as interesting. That's part of the plan, too. Did you know that, Matt? That our failures and our sins, I'm not saying God causes the failure and the sin, but that's all incorporated in his plan. Do you know what was beautiful, what he said to Peter? Because again, he points out that this was all planned out. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Of course, Peter said, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not Peter's plan, but it was Jesus' plan. But do you remember what else he said to Peter at that point?
Yeah, well.
Well, no, that's okay. I'll tell you. I know because I didn't realize it either. Until I looked it up. But he says to him, after this has happened, you go and strengthen my disciples.
Yeah.
So, Peter, you're going to fail, but I'm going to use that for good.
For him.
You'll be able to comfort. You'll be able to strengthen the disciples who are also going to fail. You couldn't have done that if you'd been the holy, perfect one. You wouldn't have anything to offer them. But because you will also be one who is weak, you are also a sinner, you'll be able to comfort those who have also sinned and failed. So I think God will use that with us too, Matt. We're going to have our failures. We'll have our sins, but that's okay. That'll make us more sympathetic, more compassionate, more able to strengthen the people that are around us. And then the last thing, and this is really a tragic thing, there may be some death this year too, Matt. There may be some death this year. But as you pointed out, what was the plan? Cross, death, and what?
Resurrection.
Right. So if we do encounter death this year amongst us or amongst our family or friends, trust me, the Lord has got that all in his plan too, because there will be resurrection and life everlasting and mansions in heaven. So there you go. That's what
Very
it's all
good.
About.
And so we cry out to Lord, save us. Hosanna.